Surveillance cameras in Brooklyn caught more than a dozen unidentified people climbing in and out of manholes late at night. One group of seven stayed underground for 3 hours, then came out, changed out of dirty clothes, and drove off in waiting cars. A second group of eight did the same thing nearby. Police found no damage, but the coordinated timing, waiters, flashlights, and efforts to hide their activity have raised serious concerns. This was not random sewer scavenging. America's underground tunnels, sewers, and utility corridors connect directly to power grids, water systems, communications, and transit lines, making them potential weak points in our infrastructure. This New York incident fits into a larger pattern of threats. In Alabama, divers found a grenade-style IED attached to the Converse Reservoir Dam, the main drinking water source for 350,000 people. It was safely removed, but officials called it an unprecedented threat that could have poisoned the water or breached the dam.
As alleged in the complaint, the defendants were inspired by ISIS to carry out their attack. There should be no confusion about what ISIS constitutes. It is a designated foreign terrorist organization responsible for deadly terrorist attacks across the globe and has taken credit for mass casualty attacks in Europe, the Middle East, and right here in the United States.
Similar risks appeared in recent terror activity. In late 2025 and early 2026, there have been multiple attacks and foiled plots, including an Afghan national who killed a National Guard soldier, a truck, and a shooting attack on a Michigan synagogue full of preschoolers, the ISIS-inspired New Orleans truck ramming that killed 14, and various disrupted plots. These included far-left extremists building bombs in California for New Year's Eve attacks on companies and ICE, an 18-year-old ISIS supporter planning attacks on North Carolina stores, and other ISIS-linked plots in Michigan. And now this fool in Newark is staring down a felony for threatening the lives of an ICE officer and his family. Together, the underground probes in New York, the dam device in Alabama, and the steady stream of terror plots shows that America's critical infrastructure is being tested.
If we ask ourselves, as Muslims living in the West,
right, and general, you drew a distinction between violent change and non-violent
exactly,
change.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Which is the political one. We as Muslims...
You've suggested that non-violent equates to political... But we'll run with that for the moment.
Okay, yes.
Right.
And that's why I'm asking for a third alternative, and there is no third alternative.
Right.
So the breakthrough comes if you remain in the field. If you leave the field, the breakthrough may come and you are not there. You will miss it. So we have to be, as Muslims, as people who care about Islam, we remain in the field. We know what America plans. يَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ Allah says, they plan and we plan.
Need to know the United States as an economy, as a superpower is falling down. This is the time now, they're weak. It's the time now to go and do jihad and call them to accept Islam and implement Islam on them.
We need full investigations into the Brooklyn sewer incidents, much stronger security around dams, tunnels, pipelines, and utilities, and zero tolerance for anyone scouting or tampering with our lifelines. It is far better to act on these warnings now than to face a reckoning later. John Bound, reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and you can watch The Alex Jones Show live on these platforms. On X, at Real Alex Jones, and on Rumble, at The Alex Jones Show Live, or go to the website, alexjoneslive.com. And don't forget to download the number one news app in the world on Apple and Android, Alex Jones App. Share the links now and tell everyone Alex Jones is back and he's not f***ing leaving.
Banned man in America, Alex Jones. I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this, Tuesday afternoon. Very happy to be here with you. We've got a big news day today. Massive protests breaking out all over the UK. Protesting the racist death of Henry Nowak, the young man who was murdered by a Sikh Indian with his ceremonial blade, who was then allowed to bleed out as the cops handcuffed him behind his back. We showed the video yesterday. It was horrifying and has caused the appropriate outrage. So we're going to cover that. We may be joined in the third hour by Jack Hadfield. He's there on the ground at the protest right now. We'll bring you videos that he's shooting throughout the show today. The problem is, I hit him up. I'm like, can you come on with us at this time? And he goes, maybe, but there's a strike going on. So we're not sure if the tube is even going to be running. We're not sure if the subway system is even going to be able to get him home on time. It's like, isn't that typical? Isn't that exactly what you would expect? We're trying to raise awareness about one horrifying aspect of socialism, their ridiculous socialist system, and we're being foiled by another aspect of their ridiculous socialist system. So hopefully he'll be able to come on with us today and talk about the protests that are currently happening right now in the capital, London. But if not, he'll come on tomorrow and give us a recap of it. But obviously this seems sort of spontaneous. You know, obviously this wasn't a Tommy Robinson style rally where you have months of lead up. This was something sort of spontaneous, and the UK people, I think, are getting fed up with the way that they're being treated. We've got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well, though. We've got Israel making fools out of themselves at the UN. We've got Marco Rubio answering questions about the Iran war to Congress. We have, of course, every day, we have more and more videos of innocent people in places like Lebanon being eviscerated by Israel because they're frustrated that they can't defeat the actual warriors there, Hezbollah. But let me start this way. Let me start the show. Let me back up real quick. So I got a call yesterday from one of our biggest fans, possibly the biggest fan of ours of all time, Matt Baker. Matt Baker gave me a call and he was frustrated. He was frustrated because he was having trouble finding the show. And he was telling me all the stuff, you know, all the trouble he's having trying to find the show. And I'm getting a little frustrated because how do you think I feel? How do you think I don't want my show to be seen? You don't think I'm not trying to, you know, figure out where to send people and, you know, how best to spread the word? So we're like yelling at each other in agreement. It was very contentious. Not really, but it was kind of like, he's like, you know, you got to spread. I'm like, what do you think I'm trying to do? It's like, I just want people to see your show. And I'm like, I want people to see my show. We're like yelling at each other. Regardless, I'm like, all right, what should I do, man? What should I do? Because if you, our biggest fan ever, is getting frustrated and giving up on finding the show, how do we expect normal people to find it? And he said, here's what you do, Harrison. He gave me this advice. He said, at the very top of your show, the very beginning, in the first 2 minutes, you've got to tell everybody listening to retweet on X right now. Everybody's got to retweet it. We are streaming on X at AJN Live. Something else, I'm going to start streaming the same show on my account, so you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. But people are still having trouble finding us, even our biggest fans. So I implore, beseech, and beg you, hit that share button. In fact, we're not moving on. I'm waiting here until you do it. And you're thinking, but Harrison, I'm not on X right now. Well, you know what? We got time. We got time. You can sign on to X. You can repost it. You can retweet it. And you can help find our lost sheep. We've got sheep out there just wandering around looking for their flock. And here we are. You got to let them know where to find us. So Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X. That's the way to find us there. We are on Rumble, not Proton. That's the other, you know, privacy and freedom of speech concerned company. But we're on Rumble at The War Room Live, I think. See, I don't even know. I got to get this right. I had him print it. The War Room Live. Okay, The War Room Live, because we did change it. We did change it, but this is it. The War Room Live on Rumble. So you can go to rumble.com/The War Room Live. That's rumble.com/The War Room Live. Because the problem is not even that, you know, we're hard to find. It's that we have like 1,000 streams. We got people running their own pirate streams. We've got unofficial accounts and official accounts and just sort of amateur accounts of people who, you know, repost our stuff and we don't tell them to, but we love it. So please continue to do that if you're one of these people. We love all the channels, you know, constantly rebroadcasting our stuff, but it can get a little confusing because you're not sure which one's the official one. For War Room on Rumble, rumble.com/The War Room Live. I literally had the crew print this out and I didn't even grab it before doing this, this tangent. So you can tell, I think you can tell why things are the way that they are. But the problem is, you know, I spend hours and hours and hours every day going through the news and trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Who's got time to try to figure out our social media in the background? So anyway, that's my very long diatribe. But big thank you to Matt Baker for keeping us on the ball and trying to find ways to share our stuff. So again, the best way to find us, and of course, you can go to alexjoneslive.com. AlexJonesLive.com has the feeds right there in a big box. You can follow us on Rumble, rumble.com/The War Room Live, and follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith and the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. And usually, I didn't even do it today, but I will right now. I usually retweet it anyway, so you can usually find it. Whenever we go live, I will retweet the live link. But yeah, folks, if you know people can't find us, they'll forget about us. Out of sight, out of mind. You got to share this stuff. Please, we really appreciate it, and it helps more than you'll ever know. And it's free. It's literally the easiest, the freest, the most convenient way to help us at all is, of course, share our links. And the best way to help us is to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Now, here's my problem. If you go to Live on X on X and you click the button, it doesn't actually bring up the tweet. It brings up the little viewer screen in the bottom, which does make it difficult to share. So it's always a little bit of a pain in the butt. But I think we can power through. I think we can handle it. I think we can power through the inconvenience. I can hit 3 buttons instead of 1, and there we go. Bada bing, bada boom. So thank you to everybody who shares our links and has found us, because it's not just the, you know, it's they don't want you to find us anyway. And on that note, I did do the Protocols of the Elders of Zion segment yesterday. Did okay. I'm a little bit torn on whether I should continue doing it because it's not the type of thing that you want to become known as the guy, the Protocols of Elders of Zion guy. Now, we're changing that. That's part of the old paradigm, the new paradigm developing. It won't be, you know, nearly, you know, won't be treated in the way that it always has been up till now. But I also lost a bunch of followers, and I'm wondering if that's not correlated somehow. But now I'm thinking, I'm sort of torn. I'm like, all right, was it not popular and people didn't really, you know, jive with it? So, you know, they didn't watch it. Or is it such dangerous information that the reach has been crushed? Because I'm not trying to brag here, but usually if I post a video, it does pretty well. Usually get, you know, pretty good amount of like the protocol videos, because I put out a bunch of them. It got like 100 likes. And I'm like, okay, is it not popular or is it being crushed? I don't know. I just don't know. But I think I will continue to cover it because I want to. Because I think it's interesting and I think you need to know it. And I think it provides the underpinning, the undergirding of so many of the stories that we're covering today, even if it's not a legitimate document, which I think it kind of is. It's obviously correct about some of its assumptions and some of its lessons it has about human nature. But anyway, well, we'll move on. We'll move on now. We do have a ton of stuff to cover today. And I think we will start with Henry Nowak. We, of course, played the video yesterday. We don't need to play it again today. It is just utterly horrifying. The image from the video, one of the screen grabs of one of the frames, can be added to some of the other iconic images that define the current political world. I'd put it up there with the fight, fight, fight picture of Donald Trump's assassination. And it's a picture of Henry Nowak's pale white hand that has been drained of blood as he's dying, and the hands of the police holding him down. And one of the police women has long acrylic fingernails, and they're inside her rubber blue glove. And so it gives it the appearance of claws. And there's something so disturbing about it, and yet seemingly, like, appropriate, that you really do get this unintentional image that looks like an angel's hand being surrounded by the hands of demons. And it's all these things, you know, combined together. You could not ask for, I don't even know how to phrase this, because it's not like a better is probably not the word that I'm thinking of. Yeah, there's the picture right there. And it's extremely symbolic, and it just sort of gives me a, you know, visceral feeling. I mean, you can tell he's on the cusp of, if not already dead at this point. I mean, his hand is so white. This is not like color corrected. That is actually the color that his hand was at that point. And yet they're putting the handcuffs on his lifeless wrist. It's absolutely horrifying. And there's no ambiguity about this. People have been comparing this to George Floyd. This is so unlike George Floyd because this kid was innocent. This kid actually died because of the racism of the police, because of the training of the police, because the police were trained to be racist like this. This is everything they said about George Floyd, but it's actually real. George Floyd, of course, was a lifelong criminal. He died from a fentanyl overdose. The thing that was done to him was an aspect of training, but it wasn't a deadly, you know, chokehold. It was a knee on the back of his shoulder blades. But Henry Nowak was actually innocent. He was actually targeted because of his race. He was actually violently murdered through no fault of his own. And then the police and their racist training led directly to his death. And it's brutal and horrific. And he even uses the same words that George Floyd used, I can't breathe. Of course, with George Floyd, that's because the fentanyl was slowing the processes of his body down so much that his lungs couldn't sufficiently bring in air, which is how you die when you overdose on fentanyl. But for Henry Nowak, it was because he had been stabbed and was bleeding to death, and maybe a lung had been punctured. So again, I'm glad to see the UK standing up against this, coming out with these giant protests. My question is, how is this one going to be different? How is this one going to be any different than the Southampton riots after the mass stabbing there, than every Tommy Robinson protest? How is this going to be any different? Because guess what? The police are not taking a knee for Henry Nowak. They're bringing out the batons and the riot shields. When a career criminal overdoses on fentanyl in the U.S., the U.K. takes a knee and pledges support for the criminals. And actually, it was that act of submission to the violent rioters from Black Lives Matter that led directly to the death of Henry Nowak, because it was the changes in the policing strategy that indoctrinated police into thinking that claims of racism are to be, first of all, believed uncritically, and second of all, to be taken more seriously even than claims of murder. So I want to go to this video. This is from Zia Yusuf. Not sure who this guy is. I guess he's with Reform, which obviously is not as good as Restore in my personal opinion. But the really interesting part of this interview, it's on BBC Radio 4, and we probably won't be able to play the whole thing, but you hear the way in which the journalist asks him a question, and the instant he starts answering it, the journalist jumps in to cut him off. She doesn't want an answer. And he makes some good points about the disparity of care that is displayed by the UK authorities when it comes to, again, an American criminal overdosing on drugs in the hands of police versus a young 18-year-old British lad stabbed to death and then allowed to bleed out in the gutter because the police basically didn't take his claim seriously. Let's go to clip three here. This is Zia Yusuf at Zia Yusuf UK.
How do you respond to that comment from Stephen Roberts that what Nigel Farage has said is shameful and that he's jumping to judgments? It's despicable.
Well, I'm absolutely stunned and disgusted by this entire segment. The BBC, you began this entire segment by saying that the police, quote, did not know that poor Henry had been stabbed. How can you say that when you have obviously watched the footage?
And I didn't actually say that. I said they didn't know he was dying. Do you think they did know he was dying?
So given Henry had repeatedly said, I have been stabbed, to the degree the police did not know he was dying, it was because they actively chose not to know. And that is abundantly clear from watching the footage. And now to talk about how politicians like Nigel, rightly raging and railing against all of this, is somehow, making points that should not be made after a tragedy. I'm speaking on the BBC. After George Floyd, we heard nothing other than George Floyd, segment after segment. You ran bite-sized specials indoctrinating children. You lost a £100 million diversity fund to structurally embed the discrimination against white people into your recruitment.
But hold on one second.
Mr.
Yusuf, hold on one second.
Recognising this tragedy, because I'm afraid, is yet more of the anti-white racism that we have become used to from the BBC.
Mr. Yusuf, hold on. Let's take this slowly through what we know happened. The first thing we know is that there appears to have been mistaken policing. Now,
if we can, because she's completely ignoring everything he just said. Everything he just said is absolutely true and obviously a very good point. That the BBC, for some reason, when Henry Nowak is murdered in cold blood, stabbed to death, and then the police basically go along with the murderer's lie about what occurred, allowing him to bleed to death without getting medical help. And the BBC's greatest concern is that people are talking about it too much. Why are people talking about this so much? Now, of course, you probably know what I'm going to say if you're a regular viewer of this, because I always use George Floyd as the example of the way in which the mainstream media can create storylines, can create trends that literally don't exist. They can fabricate them from thin air, make everybody think that it's an existential crisis, panicking out on the street, even if they're, again, think about the fact that they had people who were terrified to leave their home out on the street with 10,000 people protesting George Floyd. That's how important they thought it. That is the control over the human mind that these people enjoy. And so this guy, Zia Yusuf, is making a very obvious and important point, which is BBC is expressing the anti-white racism in this very segment as they question why people are so concerned about Henry Nowak and why they're, you know, treating it as this trend, because it is a trend, because he's just the latest in a line of people thousands and thousands and thousands of members long. The regular British people randomly stabbed to death by hostile foreigners who then get their crimes covered up by the mainstream media and the police themselves. She can't contend with any of that. She can't actually address any of those concerns And so she wants to go, let's go back to what we actually know. Well, what we know is we have the body cam footage, and we don't have all of it. And apparently, the minute that we have starts about an hour after the initial incident. So I'll give you more data here on the other side about it, but let's go back to the video. Again, Zia Youssef on UK radio. Let's watch.
Going to look at. Now, there is a second thing on top of that, which Reform UK is alleging, which is that is as a result of racism. And what it would be good to know is, on what are you basing that? How do you know that it wasn't just a terrible mistake by the police?
Well, how do we know? Well,
hold firstly, on, and I would pause
we heard
right
the
there.
Call that was made.
This is the exact this that type of question. That question exactly was never asked about George Floyd, was it? There was no, well, hold on, let's not jump to conclusions. There was no, well, do we even know that this was caused? And again, what you have here is you have, you know, a Sikh guy literally making like false flag attacking himself. He pulled his own turban so that he could then call the police and say, this kid attacked me and I defended myself. He called me racist. The whole thing is on the basis of race. Like George Floyd had nothing to do with race until outsiders came in and made it about race. They didn't arrest George Floyd because he was black. They arrested him because he tried to spend a fake $20 bill. They didn't hold him down because he was black. They held him down because he demanded to get out of the car. They didn't choke him because he was black. He choked because he took too much fentanyl and his body processes slowed down to the point of death. Nothing about being black at all. This case, on the other hand, is absolutely about race from the very beginning. So why do these police get the benefit of the doubt? Why do we have to be really careful about jumping to conclusions here where before, where there was no evidence whatsoever that there was any impact of race on the actual events that occurred, they would, report it as if it was absolute fact that this was a consequence of racist policing and police just were killing black people for fun. And this was just another example of it. We'll go back to this video. We're going to stick on this topic because I've got a lot of data to back up everything Youssef is saying and to discredit everything the BBC is trying to push forward. But just keep that in mind, that when it was George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, they never even asked this question. They never had this concern. This only applies when it's white people. Let's watch. Keep going.
By the murderer's brother, and that man claimed that poor Henry had been racist to him. Then when the police turned up, they arrested Henry as he was bleeding to death. And the last thing Henry heard on this earth were his rights being read to him, having been arrested. And to answer your question directly as to how we know that structural racism, anti-white racism inside Hampshire Police is responsible, go and look at their website. The Hampshire Police boast about their, quote, race action plan that was created as a direct result. It literally cites George Floyd. Mm. And what it does is train police officers to react in the way that they did, because what it does is say you must treat accusations of racism demonstrably as a result of this, the accusation is taken more seriously than the accusation of murder. And I think any reasonable person watching this footage or listening to this program would agree with that.
Let's play you somebody who's obviously very close to this, Henry Novak's father.
So we'll come back on the other side and we'll talk about what his father said. So stay right there on the video and we'll go to a quick commercial break and come back to that. But you'll notice she, interrupts him and doesn't let him finish his thought and then completely ignores it, doesn't contend with it, acts as if he didn't even said anything, and then tries to play Henry Nowak's dad. I'll tell you about him on the other side. Stay with us. When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the
pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You can find us at alexjoneslive.com. Of course, on Rumble at rumble.com/thewarroomlive. It's rumble.com/thewarroomlive. You can follow us on X at AJNLive. Share those links, please, folks. And I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Brandon Straka. He, of course, is the founder of the Walk Away campaign, a national movement encouraging open dialogue to pursue free thinking, the pursuit of truth, free from propaganda and political realignment through personal storytelling and civic engagement. Through live events, interviews, digital media, and grassroots organizing, he's built a platform reaching millions of people across the country. You can follow him on X at Brandon Straka. And on YouTube, he's the hashtag walk away, all one word, campaign. And of course, I had the privilege to participate in a three-on-three debate with some boomers. It was millennials versus boomers. We'll show you the trailer now. You can find this on YouTube, and we're going to talk to Brandon Straka about why he's doing this debate series and what we have to look forward to next. But go to YouTube, search Boomer Debate, and this will pop up. Let's watch the trailer. It's the Walk Away Millennial versus Boomer Debate. Let's watch.
Okay, Boomer, here we go again.
Okay, Boomer, you believe the official narrative of 9/11. It's like, okay, you believe the official moon landing. It's just like, oh my gosh, okay, Boomer, oh. We're sick of this same policy.
Which policy are you talking about that you're sick of?
Tonight, we're gonna tell the truth.
There is a deep and significant fracture inside the right, and it's getting worse.
We've tried it your way, and all it's done is caused the problem.
Ranting online is not going to solve the problem.
It's generational.
Judeo-Christian values, lessons of World War II.
Judeo-Christian values, just please toss that out of the ring. And as far as World War II is concerned, are we ever going to move on?
All of these issues that you're bitching about have been fought time and time and time again.
That type of response is what's driving people to the left.
Well, they came in illegally, but they're good people and they're working now on farms.
Trump betrayed his base, he betrayed his voters, and he did not follow through, and he was not conservative at all. And we thought Trump was going to be different.
So did we. And Trump was supposed to be the leader of America first.
You think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
Of course not.
Boomers for the win.
You are about to inherit a very messy world. And if you're not with us, it's not going to be recoverable.
Our foreign policy is controlled by a foreign country that blackmails and buys our politicians in order to do it.
Israel does not control our foreign
policy. Trump just said it.
He did not say that was the reason.
Do you think we're anti-Semites?
I'm getting a little bit of a feel.
The reason why we're frustrated with this war in Iran is because they lied about weapons of mass destruction after 2001.
It's not true. They actually. That is absolutely.
Okay,
not
see,
true.
That this is where we're going to have a huge disconnect.
On this whole hate Muslims train that you can't even see what's happening right in front of your damn faces.
That is totally effing insane.
$5 trillion plus have been spilled in the Middle East because of it, and tens of thousands of American lives have died in the Middle East because of it, and our generation is saying we are done.
They've screwed up the Middle East, and now they're screwing up Europe.
Well, have you ever considered you might be falling for fake news?
Rubbish.
The great MAGA divide. MAGA boomers versus MAGA millennials came out a couple weeks ago, but still going strong. You can find it on YouTube. It's The Great MAGA Divide, Baby Boomers versus Millennials. You can search Walk Away or hashtag Walk Away Campaign. And Brandon Straka. Brandon joins me today. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Tell us about why you wanted to do this debate series. I was very honored to participate in it. I was very impressed by the setup, too. I mean, the studio was amazing. It was really, you put a lot of work into it, and I could tell, and you can tell from the finished product. You know, this is really well put together, and I imagine you're going to do more. Tell us about the debate series that Walk Away is putting on.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, Walk Away turned 8 years old a week ago, and for many, many years, the majority of our work and our messaging has been really just about leaving the Democratic Party. We're, you know, primarily a movement of former Democrats, former liberals who walked away from the left. And Walk Away has done a lot of events over the last 8 years, whether it's college campus tours or town halls, rallies, debates, mostly with a left versus right setup. But we were feeling, and I believe me, a lot of people in the kind of conservative influencer, conservative personality or even podcaster space knows that in the last 6 months, there's been this divide that's happened in the conservative movement, even longer than that. But really, it's, I think, intensified in the last 6 months. And people are having a really difficult time figuring out how to take a step forward. It seems like no matter what you say or what you do, you're alienating and agitating a significant portion of the base. And we were trying to figure out, like, how do we move forward? Because young people in this movement are feeling completely alienated right now by so much of what's happening from the Trump administration. And older people are feeling thrilled about everything that they think is happening or perceived to be happening based off of the news that they're consuming or the platforms that they're engaging on. And so it's like, we can't just go to college campuses like we've been doing and say what needs to be said that these kids actually want to engage about in here, because the older generation is going to be completely confused and upset. And by the way, the older generation is largely the people who are helping to fund and power Walk Away and support us, always has been. On the other hand, we can't just espouse the narratives that the older generation wants to hear or are believing, because we're going to alienate younger people. I mean, it's really messy. And so we've been kind of just like going back and forth and going like, what the hell are we going to do? And then I one day in the office said, what if we just address that? Like, what if we just focus on this divide, why the divide is happening, what the two, and it's not just generational, it's ideological, it's so many different things. And so we decided really that we felt like the best path forward was to address the divide that's taking place, try to bring people in who are representative of the different factions of this divide. And so the first one, this first debate is generational. It's baby boomers versus millennials. But we already have another one filmed in the can, ready to come out on June 10th. And that one is not generational. It's MAGA versus ex-MAGA. It's people who have walked. Everybody on that stage was at one time firmly behind Donald Trump and firmly behind the MAGA movement. But within the last calendar year, has walked away from Trump and MAGA. So it's going to be four against four. But that's the reason why we decided to do this series. And then we hope to do, we're going to do a lot more over this next year.
Yeah, and it was very fun participating in it, because often online you're just talking past each other, or it's easy to sort of be rude or dismiss somebody. But when you're looking them right in the face, and I really liked the boomers that we were debating. I mean, I really, you know, we talked a little bit beforehand, talked a little bit after the event, and, great respect for them. I wonder if that was any different than your other debates that you've held, or if there was a different kind of attitude, because to me, the most shocking thing about the walkaway debate was how aligned we were for the first like quarter of it. We seemed to not disagree on anything. I was kind of worried. I was going, well, this isn't even much of a debate. We just, you know, we have slightly different views, but we all basically agree. And then Israel got mentioned. Then the war in Iran came up, and it was like, I mean, they were just off. And from my perspective, they were also often off in la la land. I mean, they genuinely said that we found weapons of mass destruction like that we are looking for in Iraq. And it still blows my mind to this day. Why is it this topic, do you think? Why can we agree on everything and then Israel and Iran comes up and it's like we're on two different planets, we're like bitter enemies? It's crazy how this happens. What do you think is behind that?
Well, so I have my own opinion, which I'm about to share with you. But before I do, I'll say like that what the question you just asked needs to continue to be explored over and over and over again. And we're going to keep doing it with Walk Away. We're not going to walk away from the hard conversations that need to happen within our movement. But the best I've been able to figure out at this point, because we shot that debate, and I don't want to speak too much out of turn here, but suffice it to say, some of the panelists involved in that debate, the one that you were in, were upset after it was over, and kind of expressed to me some of their feelings about what they perceived to be their experience at the debate. And it largely revolved around the millennials being incredibly disrespectful and hateful and just plain wrong. They were just wrong. And so I didn't want to have a confrontation with a panelist. So I ended up calling my mother, because who better to have a confrontation with? So I called my boomer mother, and I started explaining to her what this panelist was saying to me. And my mother is very much in alignment with the boomer panelists. And so I started saying, you know, why does your generation feel this way about Israel? And this is my mother, who lives in a tiny little Catholic town in Nebraska and does not travel very much. I would be shocked if my mother has ever met five Jewish people in her entire life.
Right.
And I swear to God, Harrison, if she had to choose between throwing me in front of a moving bus and saving Israel, it's not even a question like what she would do. She becomes emotional when she talks about Israel. She becomes angry when she talks about Israel. And so I started asking her about it. And she told me that somebody of a devout Catholic faith, as she is, she considers Israel to be central to her own faith and her own experience. She considers it to be the Holy Land, and she considers the Jews to be God's chosen people. And so I think any criticism of Israel, she considers to be a very personal, I won't say attack, but a personal commentary on her faith.
Right.
And that context started to make a little bit of sense for me. But I said to her, well, if that's how you feel, how are we ever supposed to have an honest conversation about the government of Israel? And, you know, God forbid, if they have corrupt leadership or behaving in a corrupt way, how can we ever have that conversation? You know, I grew up Catholic, as I just said, and we were taught that the Pope is infallible, that when somebody becomes the Pope, they are literally a perfect person walking on. Well, then how are we know that the Pope has been many popes in the past have been involved in a lot of corruption in the Catholic Church. How do we have these conversations openly if you're deciding that there are human beings on this planet that have an elevated status above other human beings, therefore are not allowed to be criticized or touched? Well, I think it's a really dangerous formula.
And look, I appreciate what you're saying. Like, I totally get the parallel that you're drawing, but I would just say it's different than that because the Pope at least achieved something, right? He was voted on by the College of Cardinals. He has in some way shown himself, you know, to be worthy, according to the Cardinals, of achieving that seat. When it comes to Israel and the Jews, it's their birthright. It's just because they are who they are. I mean, so I think it's even more ridiculous than even you're laying out, which is appropriately ridiculous, as you point out. But no, it's like because they're birthright, we just can't criticize them. And they're always right all the time. It's baffling. And to me, the really baffling thing was I could talk to the boomers and say, I agree with what you're saying. They're very concerned about the takeover of Muslims. So am I. I don't like what's happening to Europe. I don't like what's happening here. Even if it is a much smaller, you know, threat here, I still don't like it. I still don't have to put up with it. So I agree with them on that. But I was going, but this is counterproductive to that. Do you not see how, you know, destroying Libya led to the takeover of Europe by Muslims? Like, and there was some sort of disconnect there. And that, to me, is even harder to get over because I can understand, at least intellectually, you think these people have, you know, it does make sense that when you talk about Israel, they react as if you're questioning their religion. That makes sense to me. But then it's like, logically, if this is your goal, and I'm pointing out that the path you're taking is not leading to the goal, why are you still getting so, you know, angry at me? There's stuff like that, that how do we bridge this gap? I guess that's what the debate's all about, right? How do we bridge this gap? Nobody knows.
Right. Well, it's bothersome, though, because it's, you know, it's not their religion. I mean, it's not my mother's religion. It was not the religion of any of the panelists, not directly. And, you know, what you just said, I think, is interesting because there was a lot going on. And, you know, Owen Schroyer, of course, was on there with us, and Owen is difficult to contain, you know, and did a great job. But I wish, actually, hearing you say that, I wish I would have heard more from you on the conversation about Islam and Muslimism, because I remember sitting there in the middle as the moderator and feeling very surprised hearing Owen represent what came across to me as, generally speaking, perhaps the millennial position on feeling like there was almost an exaggeration about the threat of Islam,
right?
Which I did not realize. I mean, if in fact that is sort of a millennial position, I was surprised to hear it. And so it was very fascinating for me because sitting in the middle, I learned a lot from both sides. I honestly did. I also think that, you know, I want to do one of the next debates I want to do is a conspiracy theory debate. Because I heard your side talking a lot about, you know, 9/11, the moon landing, JFK assassination, things like that. And I thought I didn't want the conversation to veer off so much that we couldn't get back on track. So I didn't really indulge in it. But I was like, God, I really want to do a whole debate about these conspiracy theories that these guys think and get a better understanding of how they feel about it. But I wish I would have heard more from you on the Islam issue, because to me, it almost felt like Owen was saying, you guys got to get over this whole Islam thing. We have a much bigger threat right in front of us right now that you're not seeing. And that's what I took to be kind of the general millennial position.
Yeah, well, but that sort of goes to the heart of why we have this MAGA divide in the first place, right? Because there is this sort of reactionary, you know, habit people have where it's like they might hate Muslims. Then they look into Israel and go, wait, Israel's not great. So I guess Muslims are great. And it's like this, like, well, not everything has to be a dichotomy. It doesn't have to be if they're good, then they're bad. Now they're good, so they're bad. It's like, you know, I always use the phrase, you know, nobody says Rock is pro paper just because, you know, he fights scissors, right? It's like you can have two enemies and they can have two enemies, or you can all be friends. Like,
sure,
it's that. But do you understand what I'm saying? That like the MAGA divide, it feels like there's this feedback where everything has to go to the extreme, and you can't say, well, I love the people of Israel, but I don't really love what their government's doing. It has to be, no, they all deserve to die. And it's totally unhelpful. But that really is what's happening to MAGA right now, right? So there's this feedback loop, and we start to disagree, and then it's like the thread gets pulled and it all just is starting to unravel. So how do we stop that feedback loop from occurring?
Well, okay, before we talk about how we can fix it, can we just talk about it for a second? Because this is actually a really big deal to me, like a really big deal. When I walked away from the left like 8 years ago and started Walk Away, one of the primary reasons was the left's identity politics, what became this suffocating culture of not being able to ask questions or talk about things without being labeled a racist or a bigot or people attacking your character, trying to cancel you. And when I finally turned the light on in my own brain about like, oh, this is really my side doing this, and there seems to be a lot of like freedom and opportunity over on the right, this MAGA movement, you know, they've convinced me Donald Trump is like the second coming of Hitler. But like the more I looked into it, I was actually like, God, it feels like there's freedom over there. And when I came over to the right, I felt like I could breathe.
Right.
And I felt like there was actually like a true diversity that I enjoyed, and a diversity of thought, and the ability to agree to disagree, and that we could do it without being disagreeable. We could be civil with each other. We could have different ideas. That was the MAGA that I joined back in 2018 and that I loved for years. And I'm telling you that I am seeing right now not only the exact same identical behavior in the MAGA movement that caused me to walk away from the left, I would argue in many ways it's much, much worse.
Right.
Because at least the left doesn't have the arrogance to basically say that we're not the left. The right believes it's better than the left. The right believes that they're incapable of engaging in these behaviors, and that these are actual leftist behaviors. Meanwhile, they're engaging right now in the exact same behaviors. I have spent the last 8 years on the right doing events for all different kinds of minority communities, including the Jewish community. Just a week ago, I went and participated at a rally in New York City where I spoke out against Mom Donnie. And largely, there were a lot of Jewish people there. It was put together and hosted by different Jewish coalitions. I was happy to participate in it. But I am getting called every single day an anti-Semite, a Jew hater, and people are actually calling me a Nazi and using the word Nazi. And I'm going, how do you write down that I'm a Nazi and not realize that you're using the exact same words that we made fun of the left for so many years of using, because they're so deranged, hyperbolically deranged, and you're acting exactly the same way. I had a woman yesterday swearing at me on X and telling me that I was responsible for the death of Jews because I repeated the news story that broke yesterday about Trump, what he allegedly said on the phone with Netanyahu, which as far as I can see over the last 24 hours, seems to be getting picked up more and more and more. So seems to be more substantiated as far as I can see. And it'll be really interesting to see if the story is completely true. Does that mean that MAGA now is going to be required to feel the same way that Trump feels about Netanyahu?
Well,
they're going to have to walk. Okay. No. Oh, well, that'll be interesting, won't it?
That's what's so funny. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. We had my co-host on Moonbase Live, Lebanon John, was talking about this, and we were joking. And then afterwards, you know, retweeting people who were going, well, you know, wait, I don't think this is good what Trump's doing. We're just throwing their own words back at him going, oh, are you a panicking? Sorry, you got to be on board now. We, you know, Trump loves Hezbollah. You know, that's what you got to do now, too. And it's like, you know, it's totally inconsistent. And look, they're doing it for the exact same reason the left did it. It's because if you don't have an argument, you call the other person a bad name. It's not that complicated.
That's
it's
right.
Not that sophisticated. You call them a bad name. You know, claim that all of their outrage is insincere so you don't have to, you know, actually argue it. They're a Nazi and you move on. It is the exact strategy of the left. But here's where it gets really crazy. The people doing that and calling you a Nazi then call you the woke right, when in reality, they're the ones doing the woke thing. They're the ones, you know, with this identity politics, you know, demanding that you, you know, believe the same thing as them or you'll be canceled. They're the woke ones. So it's like, it really does make me feel insane that they're calling us the woke right while trying to cancel us for being Nazis. And we're like, we just don't like being subservient to a foreign nation. It's completely insane.
It's brain shattering.
Brain shattering yes.
Stuff. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I can't honestly say that I was in the first wave of people this time around to get what was going on. I was definitely in one of the first waves of people to get what was happening with the left. And the reason why Walkaway hit so much the way it did is because I was kind of on the tip of the spear, leaving the left and telling people what was going on and encouraging other people to leave the left. But now that the exact same thing is happening right now on the right, I remember when the, you know, influencers were using the term woke right. And the one little thing I'll give myself credit for, even though I was absolutely not on the cutting edge of understanding what was going on at the, I'm getting it now, but I was not in the first wave, is I kept saying for so many times, I kept being like, I don't get this term woke right, right, because I saw the people using it and I saw the way they were using it. And I was like, I don't get it. Someone explain it to me. It doesn't make sense. Like, right. It doesn't make sense. Now I get why it didn't make sense, because it literally doesn't make sense. That's it's so like funny. They're inverting the truth.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not a biased person. You're not like coming at it from one angle or another. It's just, you're looking at it and going, wait, what? Now this doesn't make any sense right. though. It's, and that's like all you really need to have. That's the little chink in the armor that you really start exploring and you go, well, what is actually motivating these guys? Like I said, participating in the debate was so much fun. I'm honestly shocked to hear that, you know, one of the other panelists felt disrespected. I'm going to blame Owen for that because I was very respectful. Thank you very much. No, I'm kidding. But I am surprised at that because I thought it was a very – I mean, it got a little contentious. There was a little bit of yelling. I understand that. But at the end of the day, I thought it was very respectful, which is unique in debates these days. And I don't know if there was a clear, you know, knock it out of the park winner. I think we won at the end of the day. Obviously, I'm going to be biased. But I felt like it was a very fair and interesting conversation with boomers expressing things that I do not hear from anybody else. So, again, I just encourage everybody to go watch the debate that I participated in along with Alex Stein and Owen Schroyer. You can find it on YouTube, the Walk Away Campaign, search Walk Away Debate. You can search the Great MAGA Divide, Baby Boomers versus Millennials. It's a Walk Away Campaign, and Brandon Straka are the two channels that are hosting it. And, of course, you can follow Brandon on X at Brandon Straka. But what is up next for the debate series? Are you doing more? When's the next one coming out? Tell us how people can support and find your movement.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so the next one is going to be June 10th, which I believe is a Wednesday. We're going to try to keep putting these out. Now, not every single Wednesday, because we're going to have to start filming more of them and kind of, you know, bank the content. But this will be kind of like a Walk Away Wednesday kind of thing. So the next one is Wednesday, June 10th. And that one is MAGA versus ex-MAGA. As I said, people who were firmly behind Trump, half of them have walked away from Trump and walked away from MAGA. The other half are still firmly behind him. And we've got like great heavy hitters on that one too. We have Clint Russell, Owen Schroyer, Emily Wilson, and Josie the Redheaded Libertarian on the ex-MAGA side. On the current MAGA side, we have Gavin McGinnis, A.L. Jacoby, Linda Catalina, and David Pollack. And so it really, really great team. And look, if you think the millennial boomer one was explosive, this one's honestly 10 times more explosive, to the point where I actually had to get out of my chair at one point to stop a girl fight from happening on the stage.
Why would you do that, Brandon? Why would you stop a girl? Don't you know what gets clicks? You should know this by now.
I know, but walk away. We don't have enough money yet to buy insurance. So
that's
as
okay.
Soon as we can buy insurance,
that's fair.
Then I'll stay in my chair. But no, honestly, to that point, let me say too, please,
well,
for anybody
on.
Watching.
Hold on. Can you stay with us for 5 more minutes? Can we do 5 more minutes with you?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, let's do that. We'll be right back.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase 2 for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.